त्वरया बभूव वः द्विजस्तयोस्तं महिमानम् अद्भुता सौलक्ष्य राजन्नतु मानुषीं मते सम्मन्त्र्य पत्न्या स महानवे मृतम् बालं प्रभासे वरया बभूवः द्विजस्तयोस्तं महिमानमद्भुता सौलक्ष्य राजन्नति मानुषीं मते सम्मन्त्र्य पत्न्या स महानवे मृतम् बालं प्रभासे वरयां बभूवः द्विजस्तयोस्तं महिमानमद्भुता सौलक्ष्य राजन्नति मानुषीं मते सम्मन्त्र्य पत्न्या स महानवे मृता बालं प्रभासे वरया बभूवः सौलक्ष्य द्विजस्तं यो महिमानमद्भुतम् संवक्ष्य राजं महिमानुषीं मते जस्तयोस्तं महिमान् अद्भुतम् संलक्ष्य राजन्नति मानुषीं मते सम्मन्त्र्यपत्न्या स महानवे मृतम् बालं प्रभासे वरया मतजिस् द्विजस्तयोस्तं महिमानमद्भुतम् संलक्ष्य राजति मानुषीं मते सम्मन्त्र्यपत्न्या स महानवे मृतम् बालं प्रभासे वरयां बभूवः द्विज द लर्नेड ब्राह्मण तयो ऑफ द टू ऑफ देम तम दैट महिमानम ग्रेटनेस अद्भुतम अमेजिंग संलक्ष्य ऑब्जर्विंग वेल राजन ओ किंग अति मानुषीम बियॉन्ड ह्यूमन कैपेसिटी मते इंटेलिजेंस सम्मन्त्र्य After consulting, Patnya with his wife, Sah he, Maharnave in the great ocean, Mrita who had died, Balam his child, Prabhase at the holy place Prabhas, Varayam Babuvaha, he chose. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O King, the learned Brahman, Sandipani, carefully considered the two Lords' glorious and amazing qualities and their superhuman intelligence. Then after consulting with his wife, he chose as his remuneration the return of his young son who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the child was captured by the conch shell demon while playing at the Maha Shiva Kshetra. Text 38.
Tatheti atharuya maharato ratham prabhasam asadya duranta vikramo velamupavrajya nishiddatho shanam sindur viditvarhanam aharta tayo.
Translation. So be it, replied those two great charioteers of limitless might, and they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. When they reached that place, they walked up to the shore and sat down. In a moment, the deity of the ocean, recognizing them to be the supreme lords, approached them with offerings of tribute. Purport. Western scholars sometimes think that references in ancient books of wisdom to the deity of the ocean, the deity of the sun and so on reveal a primitive mythical way of thinking. They sometimes say that primitive men think that the ocean is a god or that the sun and moon are gods. In fact, references such as the word Sindhu in these words meaning the ocean indicate the person who governs that aspect of physical nature. We can give several modern examples. In the United Nations, we may say, the United States votes yes, the Soviet Union votes no. We hardly mean that the physical countries or the buildings in them have voted. We mean that a particular person representing that political and geographical entity has voted. Yet the newspapers will simply say the United States voted, decided, etc. And everyone knows what that means. Similar in business, we may say a large conglomerate has swallowed up a smaller firm. We hardly mean that the buildings, office equipment and the like have physically swallowed another building full of workers and office equipment. We mean that the empowered authorities have engaged in a particular act on behalf of the respective corporate entities. Unfortunately, modern scholars are eager to confirm their pet theories that ancient spiritual wisdom is primitive, mythic, and largely supplanted by more modern ways of thinking, exemplified by their own eloquent remarks. However, much in modern scholarship must be rethought in the light of Krishna consciousness.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतम् परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియై వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ ఉపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానా పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. సో వీ హావ్ బీన్ హియరింగ్ హౌ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ బీన్ లర్నింగ్ ఎట్ ద ఆశ్రమ్ ఆఫ్ సందీపని ముని. ప్రీవియస్ వర్సెస్ షోడ్ హౌ వీ స్టడీడ్ ఆల్ ద 64 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డేస్, 64 డేస్. దట్స్ హౌ వీ ఎక్స్పర్ట్ హీ వాస్. Like whatever was taught on the same day, he already, you know, had mastered that. So that was the extent of absorption that he had. In fact, Lord Krishna is showing by his example how to study also in the school. Fully focused, fully absorbed in what is being taught, and then, you know, mastering that. Arjuna also did the same thing. When Dronacharya taught him anything, he just mastered in the same day. In fact, his spiritual master told him that don't let him have anything in the night, food, because if it's absolutely dark and if he starts eating and he remembers that, understand that I can eat even in night, he can still practice in the night also. That's how he was. So Krishna, through his example, is showing how expert he was. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was asked, what is the success of Krishna consciousness of a sadhaka? He says, give me one word. And he said, absorption. You know, like whatever you do in spiritual life, if you just absorb yourself completely, then we just assimilate everything what we have understood or what we have heard. So that's how he was. Krishna was showing by his example how to study under a guru. And this particular verse and the previous verse, that is text number 37, and Krishna is now eager to give Sandipani Muni his Guru Dakshina. In fact, that is also a Vedic culture, that whenever you just learn under a particular guru, after you have accepted from him the knowledge, it is imperative that a student actually gives him remuneration, form of dakshina, you know. And that's the culture. The Vedic culture is there. In any field, if you see that, you know, even that culture is still prevalent in India, that nobody takes anything for free. If you do some service, then, you know, you want to reciprocate by giving something. So similarly, as a disciple, it behoves him to just reciprocate with the guru's, you know, contribution. Whenever a guru gives some knowledge or anything, then it becomes a duty of a disciple to give him his life. That's what we do at the time of initiation. When the guru gives how Harinam, then we give him Dakshina. But what actually is that we want to offer our life to him. We actually become a menial servant begging from different people, and then, you know, humbly submitting in front of the spiritual master. So this particular aspect of Guru Dakshina is very much prevalent, and it is mandatory that a disciple gives a proper remuneration to the spiritual master. So as soon as Krishna learnt all the sciences from spiritual master, he said, please tell me what Guru Dakshina should we give to you. And Sandipani Muni, as the previous verse mentions, that looking at Krishna and knowing who Krishna is, he actually consults his wife, and then he is asking as a remuneration a return of his young son who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. So that's another guru's, this one, you know. The guru can decide according to the qualification or the ability of his disciple. The guru actually asks for a remuneration because the guru knows what is the capacity of the disciple. You know, it cannot be uniform that you give like this. The modern education system is like this, right? Whether you are dumb or intelligent, you just have to pay the same. It's not like that. But you know, guru, according to the capacity or the ability of the disciple, he just asks a particular type of remuneration. In this case, he asked for the return of his dead son, because he knew that Krishna can do that. He would not ask from somebody else, but he asked it from Krishna because he knew that he will get it. Like similar in Mahabharata, we know that, you know, when Dronacharya asked for Dakshina, he just asked something which was very difficult. He wanted Drupad to be, you know, captured live. He didn't want him to be killed, but then captured live. And he knew that one of his student will definitely do that, and that was Arjun. So that's why he just asked for a dakshina, which was very difficult, seemingly, which he knew that a Kauravas would not be able to do, but then Arjun would do it. And Arjun, of course, fulfilled that, and he gave him the dakshina which was due to him when he asked him. So similarly here, Sandipani Muni asked something which was very difficult, and he just told him that, please get my dead son back. And what did Krishna do? Krishna did not think over. Krishna just immediately accepted. He said, so be it. You know, this particular verse mentions, so be it. And then immediately this Krishna and Balaram, they left for Prabhas to get that dead son back. So another way, you know, to look at and to understand here, that whenever a guru gives an instruction, it becomes a duty of a disciple to accept the instruction and then follow that instruction immediately. You know, you cannot just say, oh, whether it is possible or not, or whether the guru understands or not. You don't think about it. When the guru says something, then that should be executed, even though seemingly it may appear impossible. Like Prabhupada, you know, when he gave this instruction to Rameshwar Maharaj, that he should complete Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months. He said, Prabhupada, how is it possible? Impossible. He said, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. Because he said that along with the guru's instruction comes the empowerment also. So when the guru gives some instruction, he also empowers the disciples to fulfill that particular task. So when a guru gives an instruction, it is necessary, it becomes acceptable by, it has to, that the disciple has to accept that and then pursue that particular instruction and fulfill it and put it the best of his ability. So that's what was done. In fact, they were ready to execute the instruction of the spiritual master and immediately proceeded to the ocean, Prabhas, to get back the dead son alive. So here in this particular purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, here the deity of the ocean, they walked to the ocean and sat down, and then the deity of ocean came there and recognized them to the Supreme Lord, approached them with offerings of tribute. So in the purport, you know, it is mentioned that how the modern scholars, they don't accept the forms of the Lord or forms or personalities, and they consider that all these things are mythical or primitive. So here many examples given, like how you personify a particular thing. Even in our modern day, we also sometimes say, you know, the government runs the country. But actually, when the government runs, means the people who are in that particular department, they are running the country. You know, so we also use such statements, like the bus is coming, or a taxi is running fast, or the planes are flying. So we just personify these things, or maybe India won or India lost, but actually it's not India won, it's just that the players who are playing for India, they won, they make the country win, like that. So we personify things. This is a figure of speech, actually, personification. We personify a particular aspect, you know, like that. Srila Prabhupada actually, you know, condemns this impersonalism everywhere. And he says, the God has a form, actually. He gives an example that how, like, you know, when the sun's rays, they enter the room, we just say the sun has come. But actually the sun has not come. It's just the sun's rays which have come. And these are nothing but the bodily effigence of the sun god. He says, if you go, then there's a such also called a sun planet. And within the sun planet, there is a presiding deity, a sun god. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna has different energies, and to administer the activities of this material world, he enters all these different aspects to different personalities, the demigods, to run that particular department. You know, like we have, you know, Sun, Varuna, Vayu, Indra, they are all in charge of, they are personalities in charge of different aspects. So Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example that, you know, how when you're talking about sun, actually it means that the sun god is there, it's a sun planet, and these are the sun rays. So you cannot decry that, you know, there is no form anywhere available. So, said that, you know, supposing if I am having a body, if my father is having a body, grandfather is having a body, that means natural that the Lord also has a form. You know, how can you say the Lord has no form? Lord has a form. And Lord has a form, and that's how we can reciprocate with Him. And the acharyas, you know, time and again have established the fact that the Lord has a form by worshipping the deities, the deity form. This is actually a merciful form of the Lord incarnate as Archavigriya. In fact, if it is not for the Archavigriya, probably we would not be able to reciprocate. The purpose of having this Archavigriya is just to make us understand that the Lord has a form. And also, we can reciprocate with the Lord in various ways. In fact, nice story, one of our dear friends mentioned about 10-12 years back, that he was worshipping Lord Narayan. And every day he would worship Lord Narayan very nicely. But at the same time, he had so many material desires. So every time he would worship Lord Narayan, he would also, you know, ask for some material boons. But some of these material desires would not be fulfilled. So somebody told him that instead of worshipping Narayan, what you should do is that you should worship, you know, a different personality, Devi, who can fulfill all your desires. So then he accepted that advice. And then he took out Narayan from the altar and put him on a corner. And then kept the goddess's form in front and started worshipping. And as soon as he started worshipping the goddess, the material desires were getting fulfilled. So he was very happy. So every day he would offer incense, he would offer lamb, but he would not offer anything to Lord Narayan, who was in the corner. So one day he saw that the incense, the vapors of the incense, were, because of the flow of the wind, was going towards Narayan, which was offered to the goddess. So he felt very much envious. He said, why should the Lord Narayan accept who has not done anything to me? So he just took some two cotton balls and then he stuffed it in the nose of Lord Narayan. Because he didn't want Narayan to, you know, accept that incense which is offered to Lord S. So as soon as he did that, he saw somebody's laughing, you know, loudly. And he looked back and he saw actually none other than Lord Narayan who is laughing and smiling at him. He says, "What's happened to you? Why are you laughing?" And he just kept on laughing and was also very happy. He said, "I'm very happy, my dear son." He says, "Why? Why are you happy?" He says, "I am very happy because you did this to me." He says, "But I did that, but I did with purpose." He said, "I don't understand why you are happy. First of all, I removed you from the altar and kept you on the side. And then I discontinued worship of yours. And thirdly, now committed this particular act of plugging the cotton balls in your nostrils. So, he said, "I am very happy because you have understood that I am a person and I am having a body. You understood that I have a body and because of that, you have put this in my nostrils. So you have accepted that I am having a body. That's why I am very happy. So that's why I am very pleased with you." So the reason behind this statement is to say that how in this world people don't accept the Lord as having a form. So that's why it said that, you know, Lord Chaitanya accepted this particular sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya, for two reasons. One is that, you know, condemning the Mayavad, defeating the impersonalist, and secondly, deity worship, strict deity worship. To establish that Lord has a form, and then one can worship Him in that form. So, it is said that, you know, for us as sadhakas, we have to understand that both the paths are necessary for us. The Bhagavatidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi. The Bhagavatidhi is hearing and chanting the holy names, and the Pancharatrika Vidhi is worshipping the deities. Deity worship, actually, in fact, if you say that, you know, it is necessary for each and one of us to just worship the deities. Why? And what is deity worship? It is not only just, you know, coming on the altar and dressing the deities and maybe offering the bhoga. It is said that this particular act of deity worship is right from the time when we get up till the time when you go to sleep. The entire thing is deity worship, actually. I was talking to Bhakti Vidyavaran Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Vidyavaran Maharaj, when he was in Vada. And I was just asking him some questions regarding some yajna. And then I told him about some aspects which I liked when he was giving puja classes. So then he made a very nice statement. He said, deity worship is not a ritual, it's a lifestyle. He said that whatever a disciple does from the morning till the night, that's a lifestyle that he has to adopt, and that is what is deity worship. And that's true. Because if you see, right from the time we get up in the morning, till you go to sleep, and till the next day, these also all are parts of deity worship. In fact, the Pancharatrika Vidhi has five aspects. And five aspects are, first is Abhigaman. Abhigaman means like all the aspects till you enter the temple. Then is Upadan. Upadan means, you know, collecting articles for worship. Then is Yoga. Yoga means what? Basically like to establish oneself or one's identity. Identify oneself as the servant of the Lord. And then meditating and then purifying one's mind and body. That is Yoga. And each is the actual deity worship. And then finally comes is Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya means reading the scriptures, worshipping Tulsi Maharani, chanting the holy names, serving the guests, serving the Vaishnavas, all those things. He says all these five aspects together constitute the deity worship. In fact, it is said that, you know, what are things that one has to do before one actually comes in front of the temple? That everything is deity worship. Then everything what is in detail has to be accepted. Like when one gets up in the morning, what is one supposed to do? One gets up in the morning, one has to remember the Lord, remember the spiritual master, offer pranam to Him. Because for 6 hours you have gone to sleep, Your body is like a dead log of wood with all the impurities coming up from the different parts of your body, different holes, full of impurities. So moment you get up in the morning, you have to pray to your spiritual master, pray to the Lord, and then after you get up, you are supposed to clean where you slept, because that place is completely contaminated. Then when you get up, then you are supposed to evacuate. And then afterwards, then you are supposed to brush. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know, goes in details about how to brush also. Now you may consider brushing is not something very important, but brushing is a very important activity for us human beings. It may not be for the animals, but for us it is very important that we need to brush. And after that, bathing. You know, I still remember that when I entered in the DT room, there was one person who went, he evacuated and entered the DT room, and he was chastised. That means the culture has so much gone into our head that, you know, because of our modern education, the lifestyle that we have in our hostels. I still remember when I was in hostel, you know, the friends would not take bath for 2 to 3 days. Wear the same clothes, you know, the clothes will be lying somewhere here and there in the rooms, you know. Bathing is a different thing altogether, you know. You just evacuate, you come back again, you just eat, sleep, same place, read, same place, come out. The same culture we just get in. And that's what happened here. You know, somebody entered a DT room and then he was chastised. And, you know, means we become so gross, you know, mentally we don't understand what we are supposed to do. You know. So bathing is very important. And it mentions that, you know, why you should get up early in the morning. If you get up early in the morning before sunrise, 1.5 hours before sunrise, very good for spiritual practices. And then why one should have a cold water bath? Except somebody who is not in a position because of health reasons, but otherwise cold water bath rejuvenates your body. It strengthens your body. It removes all the impurities from your body. And not only that, it makes your mind very peaceful. And keeps you, or makes you very enthusiastic. And the dream state of a person also completely goes off when you take a cold water bath. And said, when you take a bath, that time you should always, all the time be remembering the Lord and chanting. And then afterwards you are supposed to wear a tilak. That means decorating your body on the 12 places for Prabhuji's. And Mataji's have to wear tilak. And then afterwards, wear nice fresh clothes. And once you do that, after wearing Kantimala, then you come in front of the Lord for Mangalarti. This is the first aspect of deity worship. That is called as Abhigaman. Means if you don't do this also nicely, that means you are not doing your deity worship also. It's like that. You know? And then what happens? Then is Upadan. Upadan means collecting the articles for worship. That means you just collect all the paraphernalia which are required, like the conch, the bell, the dresses and everything. And then afterwards, once you do that, then before you actually perform the deity worship, then you do what is called a yoga. That means you do Bhuta Shuddhi, that means purifying your body, identifying yourself as once a servant of the Lord, then offering Manas Puja, and then afterwards you are purified and you enter the order. Before you enter also, you understand that you are nothing but you are just assisting your spiritual master in the service. Not that you are dressing the deities. In fact, a spiritual master is doing all this, but then you are just assisting your spiritual master in the different activities. And this actually is Ijja, is the actual deity worship, which are 64 items of deity worship. In fact, all those items, all those things which you do are, you know, is Ijja, then in the altar. And then afterwards comes Swadhyay. You know, Swadhyay means, you know, there are seven aspects, in fact. Seven aspects in Swadhyay. First is Naam Seva. Naam Seva means first to chant the holy names. That means after all these things, you purify yourself, you understand that, you know, you have done this. Then you sit and you do Naam. Naam Seva. Chant the holy names. Chant the holy names of proper consciousness. Sit erect and chant. How to chant, everything is important. Like when you are in front of the, in the temple, then you sit in front of the Lord and you chant and chant the holy names. And then in a proper consciousness, all those things. So everything is there in detail. You know, then is Tulsi Seva, offering Tulsi, pranam, prayers, you know. Even to pluck Tulsi also there are mantras, to pick up Tulsi, to worship Tulsi, everything there is. Then is Shastra Seva is there. Is Shastra Seva means you have to scrutinizingly read the scriptures which are there. Reading the scriptures, or not only reading the scriptures, but hearing the scriptures. You know, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything, and reading it very nicely, scrutinizingly. This is what is called as Shastra Seva. And then there is what is called as then Vaishnava Seva. Vaishnava Seva means like, you know, we just serve the Vaishnavas. Different aspects like Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, how you should deal with it. You know, how do you deal with a particular Vaishnava? How do you deal with a spiritual master? How do you deal with someone who is senior to you? How you offer respects to that person? How you develop friendship with someone who is of the same caliber? How you should give yourself to someone who is junior to you? And then serve them to the fullest. Serve them to the fullest. And then there is what is called as, fifth one is Prasad Seva. You know, how to honor Prasad. That is also a very, very important science. That it said that, you know, just honoring Prasadam, just not that you come and eat and go away. It said that Prasadam has to be had in a very, very peaceful manner, looking at the food and honoring it. Considering that this is to be Lord's remnants, which I have. And then while eating, not to talk anything mundane, material stuff. In fact, you know, it's not heavy philosophy also. Try to understand that, you know, this is Lord's form, it's Lord in the form of Prasad, and just honoring it. All these are like, you know, very, very important aspects, you know, which is also there in detail, which is there. And then there is Atithi Seva. Atithi Seva means how do you take care of guests, you know, how do you honor the person. It's said that, you know, like you may be doing any activity, but if the guest comes, then you should leave everything and come. Like Prabhupada, I don't know, somebody mentioned that, like if you are the only person in the temple who is performing service, and if the guest comes, you are supposed to stop that and then go and receive that guest. For household, if somebody comes home, if you are honoring Prasad, you should get up and offer him. Or at least when you come, if you are at home, just receive him at home, give him nice place to sit, speak nice words. Minimum things, offer a glass of water. All these are parts of Atithi, Atithi Seva. Now this is also a part of deity worship actually. Atithi Seva. And I don't know, last one is something. Dham Seva. Last one is Dham Seva. That means worshipping the holy place, the holy Dham. So all these things are very, very, very important for a sadhaka like us. It is said that, you know, like only if you worship, it's said that ijya, that is worshipping the Lord in the temple, that is definitely necessary for all of us. And why is necessary? Because then we understand that Lord is a person. But how to worship the Lord, for that you need to do all these other four aspects which are really very important. It is said that the ijya is not complete if the other four aspects are not taken care of. In fact, it's like a wholesome program. If you don't study shastras, if you don't purify yourself, it is said that the priest, it is mentioned that the person who comes to awake or wake up the deities early in the morning, he should be in a thorough consciousness. He should completely purify himself, meditate on the Lord, and then afterwards enter inside the altar. You know, it's not that he just, you know, takes a quick bath and just rushes into the altar. All those things are not acceptable, you know. So these are all the important aspects. And only when you do that, it is said that, you know, then you'll understand that actually the Lord has a form, Lord is a person, and I need to surrender my life to him. In fact, the whole aspect of deity worship is that how I can surrender my life to the personality. So whatever activities that we do, these activities are all nothing but an offering to the Lord in the form of, you know, our services. So then it is said that if you do this, then we'll be very careful of even the smallest of the details. You know, it's one thing to say that this is not necessary, and the other thing is that I'm not doing it, but it should be done. So that's the right way of thinking, that probably I may not be following all these principles, but I should do it to the best of my capacity. But we cannot say that all these are not necessary. It may not be like that, you know, because everything is done so that we can be in a proper consciousness and approach. It is said that, you know, when you do the Abhigaman and the Yoga, then you actually cultivate, purity, and you try to avoid offenses. So if you do it very scrutinizing the Abhigaman part, that is till you enter the temple, and you do the yoga part, that is purifying oneself, that means you actually, cultivate sense of purity within yourself, and you actually become aware of avoiding the offenses. It is said that when you do upadan, that means collecting the articles, then it's said that it creates an enthusiasm within you to perform deity worship. And said that when you do ijya, that means you actually are engaged in the vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which a sadhaka has to do it. You know, so Prabhupada emphasized that, you know, one has to engage in active sadhana bhakti, that is active deity worship. And swadhyaya, it is said that, you know, when you do that, you develop a proper service attitude. You know, you develop proper service attitude towards everything, towards the deities, towards Vaishnavas, towards the guests, towards the holy name, everything. So you develop proper service attitude. So then, you know, like, then you have a completely different consciousness when you approach anyone who comes or anyone who interact. Not only that, when you are in the deity altar also, you don't take the Lord on the altar as someone a piece of marble. You actually take care of each and every aspect of it. How the Lord should be dressed probably, how the Lord should be offered, you know, how the Lord has to perform aarti, how to wake up the Lord, how to, put the Lord to rest. So it is said that all the five aspects are interrelated and interdependent. You cannot say one is not necessary, another is necessary. They are all interrelated and dependent. And it's mentioned that swadhyaya, it nourishes the sadachar aspects, that is a proper behavior. And the four principal forms of sadhana other than the deity worship. And what are those? The four principal forms of sadhana, as Rupa Goswami mentioned, we have these five forms. The four different other forms are like hearing the holy names, just chanting the holy names, hearing the scriptures, then studying the Shastra, you know, and visiting the Dham, all those things. It nourishes them, the principal forms. And it said that only when a devotee performs all these activities, then only his archana is actually complete and fully satisfying to the Lord. Only when a devotee performs all these activities, then only his archana is fully satisfying to the Lord. So, you know, then we understand that you cannot neglect or you cannot minimize a particular activity anywhere. Right from the beginning that from time you get up till the time you actually go to sleep. And that only constitutes a Vaishnava behavior, a Vaishnava etiquette, a Vaishnava lifestyle. You know, and that's what we are all supposed to imbibe. We have to imbibe that Vaishnava lifestyle, and that lifestyle is possible only when you follow all these things to the minutest details, you know. It's very important for all of us. We have to keep ourselves reminded again and again. Like, we may forget at different times what you are doing, what you are forgotten, we should be doing. But, you know, when we hear, and especially, you know, when you are performing the active devotional service, the deity worship aspect, then we also go into the details and we understand, oh, this is what I am supposed to do, this I have not been doing, this is what I am supposed to be doing for so many years, I have forgotten doing it, like that, you know. And then when you try to be conscious about each and every aspect, then over a period of time it becomes like a habit. Then you imbibe those particular aspects in your life, and then it becomes natural for you to perform all these things. It doesn't become like a burden in doing that. Then naturally, you know, when you take a bath, you naturally put on the tilak, you naturally dress up, you just come in front of the Lord, you naturally get up in the morning, you just remember the Lord, you know, you naturally do all these things. So everything becomes very natural. So, you know, I was just thinking that I just take this particular aspect because the things which I have heard about 15 years back, I had forgotten most of them. And just few days back, I was reminded I am supposed to do all these things. Like, you know, the smallest aspects, like the eating at one place. If you eat at a particular place, that becomes contaminated. You know, then you have to wipe actually that place. It is necessary. Now, we may say that, oh, it's not practical. But then, if it's possible, then we should do it. That's what is expected of all of us. Like a simple aspect, you know, like when you go to sleep, the place where you sleep is contaminated. When you get up, clean. Wipe that area, because that area is very contaminated. I'm talking of myself, because, you know, normally householders, when you get up, you expect the maid to come at 10 o'clock and, you know, sweep the floor. Till that time, that place remains contaminated. Like that, you know. Where you eat, what you do, everything is there. So, if you just take care of all these aspects, then you will really understand that, you know, yes, the Lord is here. I am supposed to offer my life to this Shishi Radha Gopinath, and let me do that fullest. And then, you know, he said that when you do this in this way, your senses are fully, you know, engaged, and you become purified of your senses also. Right? And that is what we are all expected to do. That's why mercifully our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada has engaged all of us in particular aspect, deity worship, so that we can follow this. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.